Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are nearing the climax of end time very fast. The message of Revelation chapter 16 is one of judgments that are poured out on the earth. COVID was used by the globalists to evaluate how fast people react to fear and how readily people and governments took up restrictions, accepted the restrictions and fake vaccinations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So, COVID was not a pandemic, it was a plandemic. It was controlled, it was planned, and they expected that millions would die. And thanks to the prayers of many Christians worldwide who prayed earnestly and fervently, it didn't happen what they planned. When WHO declared and ordered lockdowns over the entire world, the globalists used that time to invent new laws and also to invent 5G, which is used to use people. 5G is the internet of things and of people. You can manipulate people with that. So still to distract the people from what is going on in the world, Ukrainian war was started. As bad as that war is, as bad as the effects on the whole world are, it is nothing but a distraction instituted by Satan so that people wouldn't sit down, operate their mind, and see what is happening. The stage to prepare, the stage in a theater is prepared before they open the doors, before people come in. And this is exactly what's happening. The stage is being prepared, but most people, they sleep. Before we start Revelation 16, we have to know what is now. Last December, WHO, they had a big assembly. Where all the 194 member states were present. The WHO endeavored to become the seat of the global government. Control will be delegated to the in the event that the WHO declares a global pandemic. This can be done easily, even if there appears to be no scientific or medical reason and justification. According to the WHO, to the foreword of WHO regulations, there is no specific limit to what constitutes a health emergency and is certainly not limited to pandemics. The scope is not to limit to any specific disease or manner of transmission, but covering illness or medical conditions irrespective of origin or source, which presents or could present significant harm to humans. The amendments would give WHO the right to take important steps to collaborate with other nations and other organizations worldwide to deal with any nation's alleged health crisis, even if the concerned state does not want that. So the power to declare health emergencies is a potential tool to shame, intimidate, and dominate nations. It can be used to justify ostracism and economic or financial actions against the targeted nation by other nations aligned with the WHO or who wish to harm and control the accused person, nation. In short, WHO will become an organization which can declare your country needs a lockdown because of illness, even if it is not true. And it is really a shame when you listen to these people. The whole meeting was taking 1.5 or 2 hours. Within 10 minutes, everybody voted for it. In short, so they think they can save the world without God. This week, from today on, today 22nd of May, until Saturday 28th of May, the hub will be initialized and accepted by member states in Berlin. Pray that the evil plans of the enemy is dismantled and destroyed. I told you, the stage is being prepared for the world ruler to appear. There is no need to wonder what WHO is up to. You can see it. Watch the signet of WHO. What is in the center? It's not Jesus, it's a snake, which is the devil. The snake always is a symbol of the devil. So Satan is in the center of the signet of WHO. It is clear that the initiator for the WHO hub in Berlin is not Angela Merkel, it is Satan himself. If you're interested, you can research yourself and even see and hear the meeting which they discussed all these things. It's all on the internet. The initiator of a new world order said, in future, people will not be changed. People will not be changing, they are changed. That means with the DNA, we can change people so that their outlook is different. And there comes DNA in, because they change with the things what they put into your body so that you cannot think by yourself anymore, but you're led by the internet 5G, which can guide you. So we have to understand these things. By changing the DNA, you are not yourself anymore. You're not yourself anymore. You're a different person. A different person. Even the so-called COVID vaccine has changed the DNA of many people. Such a person who has changed DNA has no more chance to become a new person through Jesus Christ. He has already alleged to Satan. I didn't plan to talk about these things, but the pressure of what is happening these days is so big. More people have to know about this message, especially of WHO. So please spread it, research yourself, and spread and tell other people. Now we want to go back to Revelation chapter 16. In Revelation 5:15, 6-8, what we studied last week, says, out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. We studied these verses last week. The seven angels who had the seven bowls or vials of the wrath of God. The temple was full of smoke, so that no one could enter the smoke, the temple. And these bowls are poured on the earth in great speed, one after another. Chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple, saying to the seven angels, 'Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.'" Since no one could enter the temple in heaven, the loud voice which was heard was God himself. He gave instructions to the angels to pour his wrath upon the earth. We will see in verse 2 that the entire world will be affected, but only those who worship him, only those who worship the beast will be affected. Then in Revelation 16, verse 2, "The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out to the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image." Ugly and painful sores broke out on all those who worshipped the beast and accepted his mark. From every continent, from every nation, from every people group, people got sick. Certainly, WHO will become active at this time, and maybe even before. You see from the Bible that there are short sentences in a different with the different bowls, very short. It shows that how fast these judgments are falling down, strike after strike, one after another, and within a short time, because this happens in the second part, at the end of the second part of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Then verse 3. Revelation 16:3. "The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood, like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died." At the sounding of the second trumpet, what we have studied before, one third of the sea turned into blood. But this time, it is complete. The judgment is complete. Everything is blood. The whole sea became blood. Every creature in the sea died. .8% of the world is covered with water. It is an average. The depth of the sea, an average of 11,700 meters. Try to visualize the sea, everything dead, and billions of floating, rotting, dead and dying sea creatures, and the unbearable stench. No more fishing, and so the shortage of food will be bigger. Then the Revelation chapter 16, verses 4 to 7. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments. You who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." So when we studied the trumpet, you remember the trumpet judgment. You remember the third trumpet said 1/3 of the rivers and fountains became blood. But with the third bowl, this contamination became complete. Every fresh water will be blood. You can remember all the fountains that you see in the city, the fountains which are beautiful, even the fountain at the parliament in Bern, everything will be blood. When you turn on the water tap, blood is coming out. God's judgment is just. The blood of the saints and the prophets was literal blood that they shed by killing them. And God, the righteous judge, is judging those who shed blood of saints, for blood they shall drink. The prayers of the slaughtered martyrs for divine vengeance must be finally and fully answered. The people mock the grace of God. They rejected the only true God. The judgment is coming. At this time, there is no mercy. The temple is filled with the smoke so that nobody is able to enter the temple until the judgments are over. There's no one who can go in and plead for mercy anymore. True and righteous are the judgments of God. In Revelation 16, verse 8 and 9, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and to glorify him. The sun and the power of the sun is normally taken for granted as a blessing. The warmth of the shining sun is now a curse. The sun scorches people more than the sun in Africa or Asia. More. They did not repent. People experience all that, but they did not repent. They gave him no glory. The failure of man to respond with repentance shows that knowledge or experience of judgment will not change man's heart, sinful condition. When I hear people in the streets saying, "I'm not interested, I don't want even to hear," I'm shocked. I know they will go to hell. They refuse to stop and to listen and to repent. Otherwise, they would experience the grace of God. But instead, they will experience the great wrath of God. Revelation 16, verse 10 and 11. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnaw their tongues in agony and curse the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. These bowls are directed against the very source of the world's wickedness. The throne, it's against the throne of the beast and his government. It's against the seat of satanic power and authority. The plague brought darkness. The Antichrist kingdom became full darkness. It will be dark. There will be political disaster. There will be internal anarchy and invasion of and irreparable collapses. You can also remember in the ninth plague in Egypt in Exodus 10, where God brought as a plague darkness, and it says they couldn't see each other. So thick was the darkness. And this darkness makes the Antichrist, a blasphemous operation, difficult. It makes his activities even impossible. Adding to the people's misery and confusion was the continued pain of the sores that the previous judgment had brought, and until they gnawed their tongues in agony. Yet the people didn't repent of their deeds. They did not. In man's sinful condition, he increases his sin when he is under God's judgment. Judgment may produce a kind of repentance, a repentance that is of the flesh and after the manner of sinful nature of man. In this repentance, the depravity of the heart remains the same, though it takes another form of showing itself. Though the man changes, he is not savingly changed. He becomes another man, but not a new man, a born-again man. In this, when the same sin rules in him, but he is called by another name and wears other clothes, another dress. The stone is carved into a slighter shape, but it does not turn into flesh. The iron is cast into another image, but it's not transformed into gold. This kind of repentance is caused by fear. Does not every thief repent of his deeds when he is thrown into a jail? Does not every murderer repent of his crime when he stands before the judge who condemns him to prison? This is real repentance. It's only when man gives glory to the justice of God, even though it condemns him. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 to 14. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole earth world to gather them for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. If you read the King James Version, it says that these spirits are devils, but that is a wrong translation. There is only one devil, The others are evil spirits. There are many evil spirits. And the river Euphrates dried up. Actually, Turkey has built a dam, and if they close the gate, no more water will flow down the river. They use that for electricity, but they could stop the water from flowing. Since there's no water, but only blood, it's likely that this will dry up. The river is in the way of the armies that prepare to attack in Armageddon. A dried river will be immense help for the armies to move forward. If the Euphrates were dried up, they can build roads over it. And massive armies from the east will come, from China, from India, from Japan, and other places. And they could go westward without ease. They come to wipe out Israel, or to rebel against the European-based world leader, the Antichrist. Eventually, they come to the battle of God, against God and his Messiah. The spirits are like frogs in form. The ancient Jewish people, they regarded frogs as unclean and repulsive. But the Egyptians referred a frog goddess. Christ expelled unclean spirits, but his enemies sent them forth with a mission. These demons are like the lying spirits who led Ahab into battle in 1 Kings 22. They are spirits of demons performing signs and miracles. Again, signs and wonders are used by demons to fool by deception. The false prophet here is second beast in the Revelation 13. Lying spirits, blasphemous spirits, are coming from the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. They are liars and they are deceptive. We learned already about the false prophet. Already he is at work. Gather them for battle. This battle is not nation against nation, but it's all the nations against God. You read this in Psalm chapter 2, verse 2. This is the battle of Armageddon, when the Antichrist leads the world system against the returning Jesus. We read in chapter 17 and 18 more about this. Then chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The winner of this battle is apparent. In the great day of God, it's not the great day of man. It's not the great day of the Antichrist. It's not the great day of the dragon. It's the great day of the Lord. Time, there is a warning to be prepared in light of Jesus' assured victory. Garments are pictures of spiritual and practical righteousness. We are given the righteousness of Jesus as a garment. It says that Galatians 3:27. But we are also called to put on the nature of Jesus in terms of practical holiness. This is Ephesians 4:20-24. Above all, we must not be naked, that is, without the covering, or trying to provide our own covering like Adam and Eve did, which is like filthy rags in the sight of God. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. This great battle happens at a place which is called Armageddon or Megiddo. Megiddo is in a region frequently associated with decisive battles in the past. Deborah and Sisera were fighting there in Judges 5. Gideon fought against the Midianites in the same place in Judges 7. Pharaoh and Josiah were fighting there in the 2 Kings 23 or 2 Chronicles 35. It is also a place of end time mourning according to Zechariah 12:11. The vast valley of Megiddo. The vast valley of Megiddo has been tremendous battles through the centuries. Over 200 battles took place between 1468 before Christ with Pharaoh Thutmose III to 1917 with Lord Allenby of the British Empire. It's the best to see the place as it literally is written as the region of Megiddo and the valley of Esdraelon or the valley of Jezreel. It is God Almighty in righteous retribution who gathers them to the place for judicial judgment, employing the very satanic trinity itself to uproot its divine purpose. The dragon is the anti-God. The beast is the anti-Christ. And the prophet is the anti-Holy Spirit. A trinity of hell. In the midst of all this, God speaks. He comes like a thief, like a thief. This is Christ coming back, Jesus Christ coming back into this world. Although it is forewarned, the exact time of this coming is not announced. Nobody knows when he will come. He will catch the world in a snare of darkness and delusion. In this respect, we see the assurance of Paul to the ready, waiting, and watching ones of the true church. A warning to the Christians to wake up, to be aware. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, verse 4 and 5, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Paul says you should not be in darkness, because you should be aware. It should not come like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So as Christians, we should be aware of what is taking place. I've got a short video to show you. The video is called Jerusalem, Armageddon, and America, and the Last Days. Let us see the video.
every serious scholar of the Bible is watching the nations as they rise against each other. And they are particularly watching Jerusalem because the Bible says that Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone to all nations. And it certainly has. Thousands of years ago, the Bible prophesied that the Jews would be scattered among the nations, that God would draw them back, and they'll eventually obtain Jerusalem. That happened in 1967, when the Jews set foot in Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years.
But it wasn't until the 1967 war with neighboring Arab countries that Israel captured East Jerusalem, including the Old City. Jerusalem. This ancient city lies at the very heart of the Israel-Palestinian conflict.
It's arguably the most sensitive real estate on earth. The Temple Mount, the Haram al-Sharif as it's known to Muslims, is the epicenter of the long, bitter struggle between Israelis and Palestinians.
You have to think that for Israel, Jerusalem is about 1,000 times more important than Washington, D.C. is to the United States.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
Today, a Palestinian day of rage over President Trump's move to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Palestinians claim Jerusalem is their capital, too.
Tonight, the violence President Trump was warned about. Protesters burning images of him after his announcement recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
At least six people were killed today in clashes between Palestinians and Israelis.
Three Israelis were stabbed to death tonight.
There are heightened tensions in Israel this weekend, just days before the opening of the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem.
Violence overnight in Jerusalem.
Police in Israel are blaming Palestinians for four violent attacks. Two happened in Jerusalem.
Muslim anger over increasing Jewish visits to a popular mosque in Jerusalem.
While no respected biblical scholars have named the nations, they do agree that certain nations will come together against Israel in one climactic end-time battle called Armageddon. What does the word Armageddon mean to you?
Like the end of the world, I guess. That's pretty much the stereotypical definition that I would consider it, yeah.
When you say the world, you mean the end of the age?
Yeah, correct. The end of the age.
If we let this be another Sodom and Gomorrah, but maybe we might be the generation that sees Armageddon.
Most groups stop here and they stop there to see how big is the value of Armageddon. And you know, they believe it that the last war on earth will take place here.
China and Russia, two of the world's growing superpowers, are getting closer than ever.
The South China Morning Post looks at the growing links between Russia and China.
The Chinese military official also met with the Russian general. So you have a potential alliance forming, not only with China, but also with Iran.
China have reason to deepen their ties.
China bestowed an honorary doctorate on Russia's president last month.
China is, by any measure, our strategic partner.
Both Russia and China are permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, where they often block resolutions from Western countries, especially relating to Syria and Venezuela. Another key part of the Russian-Chinese relationship is increasing military coordination. Russian TV news recently showed joint military exercises.
America's commitment to the security of Israel is ironclad, and I might add, so is mine.
Like all Americans, I have been inspired by Israel's long struggle to survive and to flourish. America, as always, is proud to stand with you.
And you have built a mighty democracy that will endure forever and can always count on the United States of America to be at your side.
America stands with Israel today, tomorrow, and always.
That the most important partner that Israel has always been and will always be the United States of America. The alliance between Israel and the United States is unshakable.
Israel and the United States have a special relationship.
Unprecedented.
So special that Israel gets more than half of all U.S. foreign aid. Money to Israel is given primarily to its military. Why?
The security of Israel. Preventing a nuclear Iran and ending the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
We've already got 130,000 rockets and missiles in Lebanon under the control of Hezbollah. They want to get a similar capability in southern Syria so they can rain these weapons into Israel and go beyond the Israelis' capability to defend themselves, because they'd be coming from multiple locations and they'd be swarming at Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. They want to destroy the state of Israel. It's always been a strategic objective. They say it every year.
So we have direct threats from Iran saying if the U.S. would never attack us, they wouldn't dare to do it because they know that our missiles are pointed not at U.S. aircraft carriers, but on Tel Aviv, on Jerusalem. Now, we have missiles going towards Israel. That's our first line of defense against attack. That's a threat.
Conflict between Iran and Israel dramatically escalated overnight.
Israel says that for the first time ever, Iran directly targeted its military positions, firing 20 missiles from bases inside Syria.
So here's my message to the rulers of Iran. Your plan to destroy Israel will fail.
We have nations forming armies, developing powerful weapons, and openly parading them because they don't trust each other. And they don't trust each other because few of us can be trusted. This is because evil reigns in the hearts of all men. And the only way to deal with this evil is through the power of the gospel. Albert Einstein rightly said, "It is easier to denature plutonium than to denature the evil spirit of man." But God can take our rebellious, sin-loving nature and transform it in a moment of time.
Yes, please come. I'm sorry, the picture and the sound didn't correspond very well. Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 to 21. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. Imagine. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon man. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. It is done. This announcement coming from the throne itself tells that there will be no more delay. In mercy, God had stretched this scene so much as he could. The seals were followed by the trumpets. The trumpets were followed by the bowls. But there will be no more judgment up on the earth after this. It is done. They poured out of the bowl into the air. The fact that the bowl is poured into the air may show judgment against the prince of the power of the air and his allies. There was great earthquake, such a mighty earthquake, and great as never has occurred. Since men are on this planet, no such earthquake has taken place. In this final judgment, God will shake the earth with a tremendous earthquake. The same was promised in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, where it says, "Once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." When it says, "So that what cannot be shaken may remain." God will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The fall of Babylon, the great city, is more explicitly described in Revelation 17 and 18. Here, it is enough to say that God gives her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Great hail from heaven fell upon man. Each hailstone, the weight of about 45 kilos. Imagine hail, every stone, 45 kilos. Man responded in utter unrepentant depravity. They blasphemed God because of the plague of hail. Hail is frequently a tool of judgment against God's enemies, as we can see during the plagues in Egypt. There was a plague of hail. Then we see again hail in Joshua 10:11, upon the Canaanites, upon apostate Israel in Isaiah 28 verse 2, and Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38:22. In each of these instances, hail rained down from heaven as a tool of judgment, not as a corrective chastisement for God's own children. It's not chastisement anymore, it is judgment. Despite all their suffering, many still will not repent. The great city was split in three parts, and the cities of the world collapsed. What is that great city? There are numerous possibilities. First, it could be Rome, which is the seat of the false prophet and maybe also of the Antichrist. Or second, it might be the rebuilt Babylon, the capital of the world government. Remember Saddam Hussein in Iraq? He wanted to rebuild Babylon and make it the capital of Iraq. And third, it could be Jerusalem. We don't know. Why split into three parts? There are three spirits: the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, the Pope. There is possibility that these three will split, as the Antichrist wants all adoration, no power and worship to come to him, to Satan. The earthquake and the removing of every island and all of its mountains in the world is surely what will happen when the nuclear explosions are set off all around the world. The world will be flattened and turned to ashes. And quite obviously, this includes the death of most people, but not before they have blasphemed God. We need to understand that the release of these nuclear weapons may not all be at once. They may be days apart or weeks. In conclusion, people have been talking about for many years about the possibility of mankind destroying themselves with the nuclear weapons. God can use nuclear powers to judge the world. We cannot be certain that God will use his nuclear explosions as a means of his judgment. But when we consider all that occurs, it could be a possibility. What is our reaction to all this? Knowing what is going to happen to unbelievers, even more to those who worship the beast and accept his sign, this should shake us. The mark of the beast could be a change of DNA, and they can form those who take the sign into a different person who has no desire for God. That is their plan. We have to commit ourselves completely to God Almighty, so that we won't be left behind when the rapture takes place. But if that is our only purpose, we are selfish. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How many people have you led to Christ? Jesus said, go, preach the gospel, make disciples. How many have you reached for Christ? How many converts have you made into disciples? We are not saved as believers just to attend church once a week. We are not here to make money and build wealth. We are here to preach and fulfill the work of God. If we are not doing that, don't call yourself a Christian. Because Jesus said, those who obey my commands are those who love me. If you don't love him, you don't preach the gospel. So we have to be aware, as Christians, what we are doing. How are we fulfilling that task to reach people for Christ? Amen.
Amen.